This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Winter Olympics in South Korea will be starting in just 4 days. Have you ever wondered about the preparation and training that goes into being an Olympic athlete? What mental and physical characteristics does someone need to reach that elite level? Joining us this afternoon are University of Cincinnati College of Medicine Assistant Professor of Psychiatry and Integrative and Executive Health Performance Psychologist with UC Health and the Center for Human Performance, Dr. Barbara Walker, and Dr. John Devine, UC College of Medicine Professor of Orthopedic Surgery and Medical Director for University of Cincinnati Athletics. Dr. Devine, good afternoon. Thank you, Mark, for being here. And Dr. Walker, thank you for being here as well.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Dr. Walker, I watch these Olympic athletes, elite athletes, if you want to use that term, and I always marvel at the performances. And I always think they, in a lot of cases, they make it look so effortless. And it might not just be a performance that lasts a matter of a few minutes, but there's a lot that's gone on behind the scenes that I haven't seen, isn't there?
Absolutely. Years and years of practice, for sure. And that's the objective for them, to make all that practice happen, to make sure that they are being able to perform seamlessly when they actually have the highest performance possible.
That's not an easy thing to do, isn't it? That takes a lot of commitment to do something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really does. It takes some truly great genetics to begin with. I always tell them to thank their parents. Natural talent, a lot of resources. We don't sometimes think about all those resources that go into them becoming and being even able to get to that particular place. Motivation, hard work, diligence, persistence, perseverance. There's a lot of things that go into it.
Hey, Dr. Devine, physically, what are some of the attributes of elite athletes?
It depends upon the sport more than anything else. I mean, this is not a body built to go out and run a sub-4-minute mile. Mm-hmm. But, certainly there are people that can do that well. And as Dr. Walker said, that there's a lot of genetics involved in that. Genetics contributing to what their muscle types are or how hard they can train and that kind of thing. And so it's very sport specific, I think.
Mm-hmm. So genetics, a lot of genetics, but is this something that people can, they can develop these skills, these attributes on their own as well?
Well, I always think that everybody's got a hidden talent. And I think the good thing or the great thing with Olympic athletes or elite athletes are is they've been fortunate enough to find that and can hone that skill. And so, again, if they're genetically predisposed to be a distance runner or a weightlifter or an NFL football player, and they found that niche and can train at a level consistently, then they can achieve that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think if we think about it as being like a pyramid, to have genetics and natural talent to be at the bottom of that, and then we're talking about the right nutrition and the right training, the right recovery, and then the mental skills part, I think about it as the tip top of that pyramid, and it's huge. And I've seen a lot of athletes who have all the talent in the world, and they may not have passion for it, or they lose passion for the sport. I've had people who may have to bow out of a sport because maybe they don't have the height, and it's absolutely terrible for that to happen. So that way they can't train into that. But I really think that the discipline and the hard work for most athletes, if they're physically capable at all, that makes a huge difference in their success.
But they have to, their heart has to be in it, I guess.
Absolutely. I think they train way too many hours. Nobody can make, I work in particular with a lot of swimmers. And when you think about, 3 mornings a week plus every day after school plus Saturdays and meets, gymnastics is the same way. Every sport has their own. I know when my daughter is even in rowing, they're doing it 6 days a week. It's pretty hardcore. There's not a lot of balance. And so being an athlete, period, it is imbalance. So we have to help them find balance within that imbalance.
Do elite athletes have do they have different psychological profiles from other people?
Yeah, I think that, I think the difference is with that, there have been a lot of people trying to find that out, trying to make money from that. But I think that, again, we're looking at somebody who has the capacity to and the willingness to sacrifice other time, being able to be disciplined enough to know that some of their friends might be doing some fun stuff and they're not able to do that. They know they need to go to sleep at a regular, time when maybe some other people might be out. So it's the discipline and the hard work that goes along with that that makes a huge difference.
And I think the other key thing, and whether you're a successful athlete or a successful business person, is that resilience. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about that as being a really key bounce back factor from a miniature failure, a major failure, an injury. I think that the elite performer has that higher level of resilience that a lot of us don't have. And then that delayed gain attitude too, I think that you alluded to. They're able to put off going out or put off a semester at school for training or work, whatever. And those athletes are able to commit to doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then for somebody who may not have like a PR for a long time, or they don't get in the game for a long time for years, who stick with it, and then that ends up paying off for them. Look what happened last night to the Eagles quarterback. You know, it's an interesting thing that he was going to bow out. He was the second quarter. He was the backup quarterback, and then he ended up sticking with it. So those kind of things, I think, yeah. Thanks, John.
that is a very good example. Yeah. He's kind of had ups and downs in his career since he started. Mm-hmm. So how do you keep from giving up when you hit a point like that? I mean, that's the question. How did he not get so discouraged? He just said, that's it, I'm done.
I think that's where somebody has that inner desire and inner motivation and passion for something, and they know that something good can happen from this, that they cannot quit. It's something internal. One of the questions when there's a fork in the road time for the athletes I work with, I will ask them, and it's kind of the burnout factor in some ways, I ask them, do you feel like you have any more to give to this sport when they're in that? Mm-hmm. And it's an anecdotal question. If they say, yeah, I do, I think I can do this, or sometime, and then I know that they're still in it, when some people are like, no, I have nothing more to give, then you know that it's time to get out.
No, so when you hear those words, you know that's it.
Yeah.
But I think in that same token too, and you've seen this, we've seen it at the university a lot too, and across with collegiate athletes, is the incidence now of depression is increasing. And so I think it would be a mistake for us to say, okay, these are superhuman athletes with superhuman brains, to think that, yeah, they can't have the normal kind of anxiety, the normal kind of depression that the rest of us can get into too, and fall into those traps as well. And that's where people like Barbara can get involved and work through the athlete's depression or work through the anxiety to bring them back up to that higher resilient stage.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's something that a lot of people don't think that athletes have, because Stanford University created this saying called the duck syndrome. And the duck syndrome is around, like, if you think about a duck in the water, right? Everything looks perfect and smooth on the surface. But, you know, what's happening underneath the water is a lot of things going on. And so inappropriately, I guess, our society has put a lot of accolades in athletes and perfectionistic qualities, and they already feel that way themselves. So some statistics, you know, we're never sure exactly what athletes are feeling, but some of the more recent statistics look at 1 in 4 athletes is thought to have depression, 30% have an anxiety. So that's significant, and that's pretty similar to the general population, if not more. Yeah.
But I think that, again, going back to what makes that athlete elite is they're able to work through that with help and almost in some ways capture that energy or anxiety from that anxiety and place that into their training or whatnot. Or even sometimes the training can be a diversion from real life that's causing the stress too.
Absolutely. Yep.
So it sounds like athletes need coaching, obviously, but it sounds like they could use in a lot of cases, a level of counseling and therapy and help in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's if we're talking about a college athlete or even elite athlete all the way through, from junior elite level kids who travel a lot all the way up through Olympic athletes, you know, so what I like to look at is, how much are you sleeping? What's your recovery look like? So recovery is absolutely huge, because they can't have pedal to the metal 24/7, which is happening to a lot of them. Or there's magical thinking to think that they don't need to sleep as much as is proposed. So, you know, not enough, again, recovery, pressure to perform, you know, it's a perceived pressure sometimes, and a lot of them put more pressure on themselves than anyone else does. So working with those kind of things, that's the great mental skills coaching that can come along with that to help them, you know, making sure that they have support around them. And sometimes it depends on the athlete, but I hear this from a lot of them that even for practices, sometimes that can even feel like competition every day because they might be vying for a spot for that weekend. You know,
it often is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of pressure. So we have to figure out how can they have equal amount of recovery during the week. And that just doesn't mean sleeping, but just really relaxing, stretching, having, you know, downtime, those kind of things.
Yeah, do you think the attention to athletes' mental health has evolved over the years? Or are we becoming more aware of it?
Oh, absolutely. It's very exciting that that's the case, too. Yeah,
I would totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more and more athletes are coming out with stories. You know, there have been a lot of tragedies that have allowed this story to come out even more. I remember when I started as a sports psychologist probably 20 years ago, people were like, you got paid for that? What? I've never heard of that, you know. So now it's exciting because there's more and more people talking about it. And thank goodness, right?
I agree totally.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing for an athlete to blow out their knee or have their shoulder dislocate or have a concussion. But it's a total disaster if we have an athlete that slid under the radar with depression and starts thinking about harming themselves or does harm themselves. And, mm-hmm. and that's a disaster to us that should never happen. And so that's been part of our focus and our practice is looking for that. And part of the NCAA's practice now, too, has mm-hmm. been a major emphasis on athletes' mental health and what we can do to identify the athlete at risk and to try to treat that.
Dr. Devine, what about the mental aspect of injury? I mean, if you injure your knee or you get a concussion, you have to have this mental part when you finally get back to the point where you're told you're physically fine, you can go back to playing. Mm-hmm. That was a setback you just went through. How do you cope with this uneasiness? I would feel like my knee could get blown out again. I could break my ankle again. I could do any number of things to myself. So you're a little more cautious maybe.
And that would be very normal. And that's, in fact, I tell my athletes that if you wouldn't be nervous about this or even scared, that would be abnormal. You know, that would be somebody that isn't thinking correctly. And so it is a normal thing. And we kind of go through this process. It's kind of follows this kind of Kubler-Ross type stages of denial and anger and acceptance and that kind of thing. That whole process, not that you finish one and then go to the other, but it just kind of revolves around itself until the athlete gets back to play. But you're exactly right. That fear factor getting back of going back out onto the same field where they're potentially tore the ACL or potentially concussed is real. And again, that's where we really work with them to say, okay, are you ready to go back? And they have to be both physically, mentally ready to go, or they're a no-go, or their performance is so good that we can afford to have them back out there, being not 100%.
Dr. Walker, have there ever been cases of elite athletes, maybe even Olympic athletes, they don't medal? They don't get a medal. They feel like they've lost. What happens after the competition? Do you ever have cases where these folks become depressed from that?
Absolutely. There is something called post-Olympic depression. There's post-Ironman depression. There's lots of things that happen from all the years of training or the months of training, depending on the event, and you don't meet your expectations. So the other funny thing is even somebody who gets a silver medal has a bit of depression. Bronze, people
right,
are like—
I came in second.
Yes,
I didn't, yeah.
Yeah, bronze, oh, thank goodness I made it in. I medaled, right? I'm on the podium. Silver, you question yourself on how you did not make it to gold. So there's a lot of, you can think about even from a physiological standpoint that there's a difference in training when you get back and then you're able to consider all the changes that you, again, the things you didn't fulfill. But so physiologically, there's a little bit of a letdown. And then psychologically, depending on how you perform, there's a letdown too.
Yeah. Can you have that letdown even if maybe you got the gold medal or you won the Super Bowl? Can you also have that letdown? You kind of feel like, oh, it's over with. What's next?
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think you see that probably more so in retired athletes or recently retired athletes is that letdown of, you know, that a lot of their sporting activity is their self-identity. It's their friendship network. It's their circle of friends and it's their family. That's who they live with. And so losing that can certainly create some depression. And But I think in terms of the athlete that's not retiring, you can incorporate that into their regular training schedule. You know, after a big competition, that your training is going to be much, much less intense, much, much less voluminous. And as soon as that time frame, whatever it is over with, you're going to ramp right back up and get right back into the game.
Yep. Yeah. And it really does depend on if they're staying in their community, because of athletes. What I was going to say is people look forward to not training as much too after the competition too. So that's can be a real positive, not necessarily depression.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some of the things that athletes prepare to do are risky things, possibly even dangerous things. Is there a different mindset among athletes? Are they better at risk taking? Are they more natural risk takers?
Let me take this one.
Yeah, sure.
We're pretty certain that athletes as a whole generally are more risk takers, just with every bit of their personality. Would you agree?
I would say, and obviously some more than others, depending on the sport that they are gravitated to in the first place. But yeah, I would say that on the whole, for mm-hmm. sure. Yeah. And then the other thing is that most of them are, they're risk takers, but they're also type A's and perfectionists. So it's a great combination of characteristics to compete with.
Exactly.
Is there also a side of an athlete who says, I don't want to let my teammates down. I don't want to let my coaches down. I don't want to let my family, my fans down. Is that in play as well?
Of course. And that's that sort of perceived pressure that they put on themselves that I try and separate for them. Most of them are so darn hard on themselves that they that it's not about other people, really. Nobody can say anything to them that's going to be harder than they are on themselves. But there is that extra pressure for sure that they don't want to disappoint anyone.
Is there, with the Olympics coming up in just a few days, is there more pressure in an event like that because it only comes along every 4 years? So you really feel like I only have this one shot at succeeding?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if you think about worldwide, we put so much pressure on with the Olympics and there's so many accolades with it, with the, you know, parades at the beginning. And you're representing your country, too. That's a whole other avenue there. Yeah.
So how do you go about what's this mean for the rest of us? I mean, how what lessons can we learn from these elite athletes and these Olympic level athletes?
I think the thing that we can all take is the resilience factor. The ability to get back up on the horse when you can, the stick-to-itness, I think, is really key. And I think for whether you're an Olympic athlete, whether you are a housekeeper and you've got to get back to work, I mean, that's still your livelihood. And you've got to be able to come back from injury and be able to do the things, the therapy that's needed to get back to doing what you need to do. And so following this group is they have the luxury of having us available daily if they need us to help with that therapy and help with that therapeutic direction. Whereas us in the general public have that difficulty of, we're lucky anymore if we can get 2 visits a week with them to get that improvement to go. So it's harder from that aspect for the general public. But I think those are the things that I would take from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that just even watching the Olympics, it doesn't matter if somebody's trying to achieve that exact goal. You know, it's the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. There's very few people that would ever become an Olympic athlete. But I think for people watching, and it's so inspirational in whatever you are doing, as you were saying, and looking at the discipline that goes around it, the ability to achieve goals, to dream big, it's exciting.
So does a lot of this apply in the business world as well?
Oh, I think for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, the same factors, the same focus that you can imagine that an athlete needs with a billion people watching in a once-in-a-lifetime event, that same ability to focus can certainly help out a trial attorney or a physician in surgery or somebody where that focus is really key, a student for an exam. You know, all those things need to be in play to be successful. And I think the general public can take that lesson away.
Yeah, and I work with a lot of executives as well. And it's interesting. I parallel that with almost like a corporate athlete type approach because they need to make sure that they're having good recovery, sleeping well, eating well, exercising. I mean, we don't have to talk athletes into exercising, but for the corporate athlete, you really need to have that foundation to be able to focus and be able to perform well at your job.
Yeah. Are there some ways, Dr. Devine uses the word resilience mm-hmm. a lot. Are there some ways to develop resilience as a person?
Sure. I mean, some of that is the trial and error of life, right? Being able to get into a pickle or have some sort of adversity at some point. There have been a lot of studies looking at leaders of countries and leaders of companies. And in each of those, each of their backgrounds, there has been some major adversity. So it scares me sometimes when I see an athlete who has had no adversity at all. Everybody's kind of taken care of everything for them. And they don't know how to make decisions as adults, or they don't know how to manage something. Mm-hmm. So I think that having those adversities, and that helps you build resilience. It is what John was saying, is getting back on the horse. Being able to have delayed gratification and being okay with that, it's good.
Yeah. Some advice for parents. If you've got a child who's a high-performing athlete in high school and they start to get burned out on their sport, should you encourage them or push them to stick with it, or is that a risky thing to do?
I would say no. And for a couple reasons. One is you want the young athlete to have as diverse of an experience athletic as you possibly can. We've had just recently in the last 2 years published recommendations that it's better for an athlete to be unspecialized growing up, that they are at a higher rate of risk of injury if they do specialize in one sport. And so we would always encourage our younger athletes, if you're a thrower, do gymnastics or do something else. If you're a swimmer, don't do anything for your shoulders, that kind of thing. So just to get a varied level of experience. And so that burnout is a very real risk. And you think about how many kids have probably been pushed in this direction and have just flat out said, I've had enough, mm-hmm. and there's talent wasted.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm seeing burnout at younger and younger ages, and it's a bit scary. And a lot of them just feel the pressure. Some of them feel pressure because they think it's the only way that they're going to be able to get into college or for a parent to be able to mm-hmm. Pay for college, which is sometimes I think about for some club sports that by the time they've paid for all that club fee and the traveling fee, they probably could have stocked that money into suck the money into savings to pay for college, you know, and then the child would be happier. Yeah. Most every parent, though, when they bring them into my office, they say they really just want my child to be happy. So we have to kind of figure out how to help them be happy, whether it's within their sport or not.
Sarah, is there a primary sign parents should watch for that would tell them that their young athletes become burned out? Struggling with that?
Well, so part of it's having good communication with your child, number one, and then also having a good communication with coaches, maybe some of the other parents. So people are observing that child. So somebody who was super excited about a sport who now may not really feel like going anymore, or they're getting sick a lot, making excuses. Some people make excuses even, and I'm sure you run into this, mm-hmm. Dr. Devine, and they're not maybe doing it on purpose, but maybe having some symptomatic kind of physical ailments that or lingering ailments that perhaps we think from a medical standpoint that they're okay. So paying attention to those things. And again, watch your child's mood. Are they sleeping okay? Are they oversleeping? What are their grades if they're in high school or college? What are all those like? So having a community of people around them to make sure that everything's okay.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head on one of those. I mean, it's much, much easier to save face to retire from a sport due to an injury.
Physical
that
injury.
Keeps yeah. you from participating as mm-hmm. opposed to, I just can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Dr. Walker and Dr. Devine, thank you both for joining me this afternoon. University of Cincinnati College of Medicine Assistant Professor of Psychiatry and Integrative and Executive Health Performance Psychologist with UC Health and the Center for Human Performance, Dr. Barbara Walker, and Dr. John Devine, UC College of Medicine Professor of Orthopedic Surgery and Medical Director for University of Cincinnati Athletics. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition. The producer was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Josh Elstro was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney.